Nothing makes sense anymore. Facebook doesn't make sense. I know that it's evil, I know it's the worst, but it's what I'm connected to the most people through. And there's people on my Facebook page that are like, I would like to see this. So I was like, I got you covered. I've got you covered. I will do a live event through my Facebook page for the first time in forever. And then it just doesn't work. Like, it just, the go live button just grays out. And it's like, I don't know what to tell you. I honestly, it's like if I rehearsed a play and I got into costume and I did my makeup, I memorized my lines, I did tech and everything. I got to the theater and they were like, you can't go on stage. And you're like, why not? I reserved the space. I'm in costume. I have a show. It's all ready to go. And they're like, yeah, I can't go on stage. It's not even an option. And you're like, I'll just walk on stage. Like, I have functioning mind. I have memorized my, I will now step. And they're like, it's a magic force field and you just can't walk on stage. It doesn't have anything to do with you. We're sorry. This is me complaining about the fact that I am completely ignorant as to how to set up a live stream. So, the Berenstain Bears. Oh, Karina says hi. So I have a viewer. There is a viewer. So thank you, Karina, for showing up to this, the jankiest of live streams. So I'm looking at my screen. I am here to talk about the Berenstain Bears. I think I will get moving and talking about this week's book. Do I have a poem to read? I do not. Do I have a Bible verse to read? I don't know. I have a Bible line to read. I don't even know if it's the whole, it says it's the whole verse, but we know how tricky the Berenstain Bears can be when it comes to discussing Bible verses. So the quote is, this is the intro to the show, so hold on to your seats. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Matthew 6:14. Welcome to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we are talking about the tricky world of forgiveness, the tricky concept of forgiving those who transgress against us, or in the case of this week's book, who I guess misinterpret deliberately something you said in order to benefit themselves. We'll explore that. We're going to explore the notion of what it means to forgive, the positive outcomes of forgiveness, and the other side of forgiveness, atonement. Which is better, to forgive or to atone for your transgressions? The Berenstain Bears have an idea of which is better, of which makes more sense, which is easier to teach children. And I think it's the kind, I think it's the concept that kind of gets slipped into a lot of childhood teaching, which is to forgive your, I don't know, your enemies, the people who wrong you. There's just something about, like, I don't know, the notion of forgiveness that permeates a lot of religious teaching, but not enough, I believe, to the children of the others, of the atonement side, which to me, this book, this week's book, which I haven't even mentioned yet, probably should focus a little bit more on the atonement and a little less on the forgiveness, although it gives us a few cool callbacks to previous books and storylines. That's right, this week we are discussing 2010's Jan and Mike Berenstain book, Living Light series, Faith Story, Zonderkids book, The Berenstain Bears, The Forgiving Tree. The Forgiving Tree. Not the Giving Tree. The Forgiving Tree. Which, I mean, okay, let's just talk about it real quick. Shel Silverstein's book, The Giving Tree, is probably his most controversial book. It's a frequently challenged book in libraries and children's, in schools and children's libraries. Because The Giving Tree is a book about a tree that just gives its own life to a little boy and then it dies. And the little boy doesn't even realize it did any good. The tree is like humanized to an extent. as a woman, like a woman tree, and the boy is like, the woman tree is like, take of my body, and the boy is like, I'm gonna build a boat, thanks. And that's like the book. And then he gets a wife and kids, and the tree is like, I'm dead. That's the Giving Tree. I am sure Shel Silverstein had a big point to make. He wrote classics, Lafcadio, The Lion That Shot First, other books, Boy Named Sue Song. I can't even think, Sidewalk Ants, all that stuff. Shel Silverstein, nutty guy. I'm sure he had a point. Very confusing book. So it's like the Berenstains came along, lifetime later, and said, let's fix the whole Giving Tree issue. Let's make a book about forgiving. Maybe that's what we should focus on. We'll call it the Forgiving Tree, and we'll have nothing to do with the Giving Tree. Maybe it did originally. Maybe the original concept involved, like, let's fix the problems of the Giving Tree. This was just about forgiving, the Forgiving Tree. But what is forgiving? What is forgiveness? And why is the Living Light series focused on it? Well, I don't know if this is going to come as a big surprise to any of you, but the Christianity, which is a little bit of the focus of the Living Light series, Christianity has a lot to say about forgiveness, about forgiving those who transgress against you. How about, you know, forgiving people their trespasses, forgiving those in debt against you, as you would forgive the debtors. It's a big thing, forgiveness. Jesus talked about it quite a bit. He was like, forgive people. You got to forgive people. You got to do the forgiving. And people have talked, not only theologians, but, you know, psychologists and therapists and other people involved in life have talked about the fact that forgiving isn't always the way to go, because it's a personal thing. If it makes you feel better, do it, but, you know, forgiving is weird, because at some point you're like, You run the risk of people just sort of walking all over you if you just keep forgiving everything. That's not to blame people who have been victims of things. But at some point, you just got to put your foot down and say, no, I don't forgive you anymore. Forgiveness. There's a line. And sometimes you got to draw it. It's not infinite. Or it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be infinite. Someone does something terrible to you, I don't think you have to forgive them. However... there is another concept, the notion of sin and forgiveness, and the notion of repentance and the notion of atonement is a really big part of many branches or many forms of Judaism. There is the notion, you know, the notion that you know, forgiving is a mitzvah. To forgive is a mitzvah. It's a blessed act. It requires. It expects no compensation. You do it as a gift. To forgive is a mitzvah. That's a thing. But there's also the notion of atonement, which is even bigger mitzvah. To atone for something you've done without expectation of forgiveness, without expectation of reward. That's the other side of that. The fact that if you transgress against somebody, if you do something bad to somebody, whether you mean it or not, you should figure out what it was you did wrong. And even if you don't fix it, own up to it. Admit you did something wrong. Apologize and ask for forgiveness. It's not up to the person you transgressed against to just grant you forgiveness. You just got to get in. You should get in there and ask for it. You don't not expect it in return. You don't expect to get forgiven. You need to ask for it. You did the thing. You take the action. Then why should that other person take the action? There's a whole lot that goes into it. I was doing a lot of reading in the lead up to this book about a bunch of bear cubs and a broken bicycle. The concept of Yetzer HaTov and Yetzer HaRa, which is Yetzer HaTov is the notion that humankind has an inclination towards good, and Yetzer HaRa is the notion that humankind has an inclination towards evil. both sides are necessary for humankind to be balanced out. Yetzer HaTov balances out Yetzer HaRa and vice versa. If we had a universe that was just full of Yetzer HaTov, everything would be very bland and nothing would ever progress. We would have no human progression. We wouldn't build anything. We wouldn't create anything because everything would be perfect. There'd be no conflict because Yetzer HaRa isn't evil itself, but it is the impulses that can lead to evil. It is the sort of the self-centeredness, the things that make you want to go out and seek and gain. But then, so Yetzer HaTov is the altruistic side, the side that makes you consider other people. And those two have to balance each other out. There should be a harmony between those two. And the idea is that when you are a child, you are mostly full of Yetzer HaRa, the inclination towards evil, the sort of like self-centeredness, the greedy side. We know that's what kids are like. You have to teach them Yetzer HaTov. You have to teach them to do things for other people. You have to teach them altruism. And to me, that is almost the idea behind Berenstain Bears, which is that the cubs are naturally inclined to be greedy, to throw tantrums, to get angry at their friends, to be thoughtless, to be inconsiderate. It's up to the parents to balance that out and be like, we'll never get rid of those impulses in us, but we can flavor them with enough Yetzer HaTov to say, you know, think about others, think about creating a balanced world. And that's, to me, all plays into this book about a bicycle getting broken. So what is this book? What is the Berenstain Bears' The Forgiving Tree? What are we forgiving? What's with the tree? Well, it is Brother Bear's birthday. That's right. It's another one of Brother Bear's birthdays. And Brother Bear has celebrated his birthday in the past. Brother Bear celebrated his birthday in the Berenstain Bears the Birthday Boy. He celebrated his birthday in the Berenstain Bears and the Green-Eyed Monster. And now he is celebrating his birthday once again with a full-size banner. It says, Happy Birthday, Brother Bear. Cubs are rushing up to the bear's treehouse, arms laden with gifts. And it's a great party. I'm not going to lie. This is a great party. I mean, look at that. Would that I could throw a party for myself that turned out this perfectly. We've got brother, we've got sister, Lizzie's there, cousin Fred, and a bunch of just nameless cubs. Just like it's Brother Bear's birthday is such a big deal that cubs we've never even heard of have shown up. And Honey Bear is there, because of course she is. Can't leave her in the crib. Gotta have her front and center. So Brother Bear makes a wish, blows out the candles. Fred's like, what'd you wish for? And he's like, I can't tell you what I wish for. It won't come true, which makes sense. Those are the rules, Cousin Fred. So Brother Bear opens up a bunch of his gifts and he gets a new model plane. It's an actual model plane, though. Like it's a model of a plane. It's not one of Brother's balsa wood planes that he was so keen on back in the early 80s. And this is a plane. He gets some race cars, gets some books about dinosaurs. That's pretty keen. He gets a new video game, which we get to take a look at in just a little bit. A video game through the eyes of Mike and Jan Berenstain. So it's 2010 at this point. What's the video game? It's just called Game Bear. It's just Game Bear. Features a motorcycle man, because that's what kids love. They love motorcycle riders. What kid in 2010 wasn't crazy about Evel Knievel? Popping wheelies and doing stunts. But he also gets the grand prize, which is brand new bicycle. Brand new bicycle. So we've seen this story before. I don't know if you remember, but in the past, Brother Bear has gotten a brand new bicycle, and he got it in a book called The Berenstain Bears and the Green-Eyed Monster. Brother Bear gets a new bicycle. Sister Bear is very jealous. She wants the bicycle. She starts getting visited by a demon called the Green-Eyed Monster, and it makes her greedy. It makes her want things. And that's kind of one direction this could go, but this is again, different continuity. So that's first time books continuity. This is a new continuity. This is Living Lights continuity. So this is your Marvel's What If of the Berenstain universe. What if Sister Bear's greed was beaten to the punch by another cub, notoriously greedy cub, Cousin Fred. Cousin Fred, who we all know is thoughtless, greedy cup. I guess it's like the kind of the they've tweaked his personality a little bit in there. So Fred's like, that's a beautiful bike. I sure wish I had a bike like that. And Brother's like, oh, well, you can borrow it anytime you like. Fred's all, hey, thanks. And then Sister's like, let's go play your new video game. This is the setup for the major conflict. So Brother Bear says, you can borrow it anytime you like. Keep that, put a pin in that plot thread. Because the Bears go and they play some Game Bear. It's 2010. What are they on, the PS4 now? Let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at this game. That's game. It looks like they're playing it on a, what, like a SNES? It looks like the SNES. Just from the button position and the cartridge position. It looks like it's 2010 and Brother Bear's still playing on a Super Nintendo. I guess that makes sense. He's playing on a CRT television set. So, and there's like buttons on it. This is in the kids' game room, I guess. I'm going to guess that the Xbox is upstairs where Papa can play a little Madden when he wants it. Yeah, Brendan in the chat says it's obviously it's an Atari 2600, which is clear from the, like, we couldn't quite replicate the look of the arcade version at home. I played Pac-Man the year it came out on the Atari 2600. It was a disappointment. When you can't even get Pac-Man right, you're pushing your programmers a little bit too hard. So they're playing Game Bear, whatever that is. It looks like some kind of Dig Dug-esque Pac-Man-y Donkey Kong-ish 2-bit game. And the brother's like, hey, where's my bike? Where'd my bike go? We were so excited playing this game from 1983 that we lost track of my bike. Where's my bike? Hey, gang, where my bike is at? Then they look out the window. Oh, I think we know where the bike is at. Cousin Fred stole your bike, Brother Bear. Cousin Fred stole Brother's bike. He just took off on it. Cousin Fred was outside riding Brother's brand new bike around the treehouse. Brother was furious. How furious was Brother? Pretty furious. Pretty furious. Hat-crushingly furious. Frequent listeners to the show know that I love it when the Cubs get angry. Nobody draws angry Cubs better than the Berenstains. Like, that's their job. But no one, I love it when the Cubs get so mad, they lose all sense of decorum. And Brother loses all sense of decorum. That Fred, growled Brother. He can't do that. And he charged outside. And Mother, Mama, and Papa are like, oh no. We've never seen Brother this angry. And on his birthday. So he runs outside. He starts screaming at Fred. Get off my bike! He doesn't say that, but he's clearly screaming at Fred. Fred is so what's going on? That he crashes into the mailbox with a wham. He startled Fred so much that poor Fred didn't look where he was going and ran right into the mailbox. Wham! Destroying the wheel of the bike. Destroying the mailbox, I would suspect. What a terrible birthday. Look what you did! Shouted Brother. Who said you could ride my new bike? Fred's like, you did. You said I could borrow it anytime. I didn't mean right away. I never even got to ride it. So there's like a big argument going on here. It's a big fight. I love a bear cub fight. I love it when the Cubs get so angry at each other. I just love it when they yell and scream. Like, we don't get to see this that often. The PBS series, the Cubs weren't allowed to do this. They weren't allowed to. Like, Mike talks about that. When they took the show to PBS, they were really excited. This new, beautifully animated series, let's bring the Berenstain Bears back to the viewing public. Let's get them back on TVs. It was a great thing, but they laid down so many rules, and one of those rules was, the Cubs can never really get that mad. They can never misbehave that much. We don't want yelling. We don't want anyone to get super angry. We don't want anything that could possibly scare the kids. Nothing about this would scare a child. Kids love to see other kids screaming at each other. It makes them feel right at home. So Mama shows up. She's like, what's going on? And Brother's like, you ruined my bike. You ruined my bike. And he did. Ruined his bike. Papa's like, look, I'll take it. I am literally the fix-it bear of this town. It's not true. Grizzly Gus is the fix-it bear. But Papa's like, I'll take it down to my workshop. We'll take it down to the bike shop. Because there's like a bike co-op in Beartown. Take it down to the bike shop. We'll fix it right up. Don't worry about it. And brother, he says, it'll be as good as new. And brother says, it won't be new. It will never be brand new again. That's pretty deep, brother. That's pretty cool. I would love a Berenstain Bears book that is like, the lesson in this book is the fact that everything is slowly approaching, like entropy exists, and we are all decaying at a rate of 1 second per second. Like we are never going to, nothing will be new again. You can fix what's broken, kids, but you can't set it back to the beginning. And that's kind of one of the hidden points of this book. Your broken bike, it'll never be new again. Fred's horrified at what he's done. Fred is stunned. Fred is frozen in place. I didn't mean to hurt brother or his new bike. Mom is like, it's an accident. And I'm like, it was an act. You did take his bike. This isn't the way Fred usually behaves. He's a boy who reads the dictionary for fun. I don't know. Maybe it is the way Fred usually behaves. I've never seen him do anything like this before. And then Fred says, brother, so mad, do you think he'll forgive me? And Papa's like, of course he'll forgive you. It's a Living Lights book. Of course he'll forgive you. But sister wasn't sure that brother would forgive him. So she went and she followed brother to the treehouse. Now, this is their other tree, not the treehouse they live in. This is the Bears' treehouse, like the Cubs' treehouse. It's not the treehouse. It's not the clubhouse. It's not the clubhouse from No Girls Allowed. This is the treehouse that brother and sister built, and the Berenstain Bears get in a fight, which is one of the earliest first-time books. In the book, brother and sister built this treehouse. They got in a big fight, and then they painted a line down the middle of the treehouse. So they had to split it. They share one side. You know, it's the sitcom thing. And in this book, that was like 1984. In this book, it says, sister noticed a faded red line drawn down the middle of the treehouse floor, and you could see it. So this is a major callback. This has never been referenced again since like the early 80s. The Berenstains, that was a plot and then they let it go. And so sister's like, remember this red line? And there were, no matter how many times this plot has been used in terrible sitcoms, you never got the episode 4 years later where they're like, remember when we took a roll of masking tape and divided the apartment up into two halves? Remember that? Remember how weird we were then? You don't get that. But you get it here. Remember the red line? We put it there a long time ago. We were so mad at each other that we divided the treehouse in half. I sat on one side, you sat on the other. We sat out here being mad at each other until it started to rain and we got soaked. By that time, we couldn't even remember what we were mad about. And I want to pull this again for young performers at home. If you need a monologue, if you need an audition monologue, the Berenstains gave you one. It's right there. If you need a good 2 minutes, you can drag this one out. In fact, listeners, if you want to take the monologue from the Berenstain Bears, The Forgiving Tree, record yourself performing it and send it in. I promise to listen to it at some point. But it is a little muddied because it does start to rain. God is like, I made it rain on you last time. I'm making it rain again. Well, they get back inside and this is my favorite part. The party has just kept going. That's how awesome this party was in Beartown. They were just like, hey, brother's not around. Where'd brother go? I don't know. Get the pinata out. And they just, they're going to town on a pinata. I don't know how I feel about the appropriation, but I'll forgive them. They're bears. I don't know what Bear Mexico relations are like with Bear Country. I don't know. They don't mention Mexico that often in Bear World. But this is proof positive that we've got some similar culture to Mexican culture right there. I mean, that right there, that is, I went to the grocery store and I looked up overhead in the produce section and I pulled a pinata down for your birthday party pinata. That's what that is. So they're swinging their sticks. It looks like someone breaks it open. and they get their candy. And while they're all scrambling for candy, Brother and Fred knock heads. That's a metaphor if I ever saw one. Brother and Fred literally butting heads. Literally butting heads. What's this going to lead to? Also, I think this is how bears assert dominance in real life. Brother and Fred butt heads. And it's a great picture, and I made it my cover photo. I don't remember if I made it my cover photo with the cover photo for the Deep in Bear Country site, but it's out there. It's floating around in the ether now. They bang their heads together, and they're like, and Fred's like, ow. And Brother's like, I'm sorry. And Fred's like, that's okay, I forgive you. And Brother's like, I forgive you too, Fred. I shouldn't have yelled at you about the bike. It really was just an accident. And Fred says, forget it. And forget it they did as they gathered up the candy. I don't remember Fred ever apologizing for it. I don't remember if Fred never apologized for wrecking Brother's bike in this whole book. He never atoned for it. Because Brother got so mad, Brother's ended up being the one to have to apologize for him breaking his new bike. And Papa says, you know, that old tree in the backyard has seen a lot of forgiving over the years. I guess you could call it a forgiving tree. And Mama says, as the Lord said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Which I did a lot of looking up on, and apparently that quote is usually translated as debts and debtors, but it can also be translated as forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, because the word that they use for debt could mean debt, but it also could translate as simply like a social debt, like in the sense of like I did something wrong that I need to pay back for. It's also one of the, it's one of those weird, there was like a layered meanings originally when it was, you know, if you fit it into the greater context of the Gospels, forgive us our debt, we forgive our debt. There's like puns on top of puns on top of puns. I am sure when people read the Bible back when it was first written, they got a hearty chuckle out of it. They were like, ah, I get it. Sin, debt, debtors. We get it. Sister's like, what does that mean? And Mom is like, oh, just that God wants us to forgive those who hurt our feelings, which I guess, I mean, he hurt your bike. I guess your bike is like your feelings. There's certainly people in my neighborhood who feel that way. Sorry, everyone. And remember, said Papa, though God wants us to be good, he forgives us when we do something wrong. Which isn't really the point, Papa. We're talking about a broken bike here. And Sister says, I think that's very nice of God. And Mom and Papa say, it is. And they have to say, I mean, they honestly have to say that. What are they going to say? Like, they're not going to, this is not going to lead us into like a deep theological discussion. They're just like, no, it's, yeah. Sister's like, I think God's nice. And the parents are like, sure. Like, sure, that's, you know, that's kind of the point we were getting at, Sister. That's kind of the point we've been getting at, Sister. He's pretty nice. Pretty nice. At least in bear world, he is. I don't know what, I mean, I was going to say, I don't know what their Bible's like. I know exactly what their Bible's like. I've got it on the shelf over there. It's exactly like our Bible. But this being a Living Lights book, we've got questions and activities in the back. My favorite part of the Living Lights series is the activities and questions because they are absurd. So let's talk about it. One, would you have done the same thing as Brother and offered to share your bike with Cousin Fred? Why? Like, is he my cousin in this scenario, or is he just some guy? Like, if I got a brand new bike and someone was like, will you share that with my cousin? I'd be like, absolutely not. I don't know your cousin. If he was my cousin Fred, I'd probably be like, I mean, yeah, I would clarify that we're playing a video game at this point. But I do, my favorite part of the question though is like, so will you share your bike with your cousin? Why would you do that? Like, justify yourself, please. Really? You're going to share your bike? All right, kid. I mean, I guess. You're the one answering the questions here, these hypotheticals. Would you share your bike with Cousin Fred, listeners? It's a choice. You're making a choice when you do that. Your life is going in one direction, and it's not necessarily the direction you thought it was going to go. Question number two. Would you have been as upset as Brother if someone that you care about had an accident with something that was yours? I mean, I'm going to have to diagram these sentences. So would you have been as upset as Brother if someone that you care about had an accident with something that was yours? Yes, I guess. I mean, there's, we can take any of those qualifiers out of the question. Would you have been upset if someone you care about had an accident with something that was yours? Would you have been as upset with brother if someone had an accident with something that was yours? Would you have been as upset as brother if someone that you care about had an accident? I don't know. There's a million ways we can look at this question. The answer is yes, though. I would very much be upset. I don't think being upset was the issue here. The issue is forgiveness. Brother's problem wasn't that he got upset. Your impulse is to get upset. That is a human being's. That is Yetzer Hara. You have this impulse of anger. And then you've got to balance that out with an impulse towards altruism and goodness and forgiveness. I guess it's still your bike and he broke it up. He bent the front wheel. That's like at least $100 to repair. 3. How was sister a help to brother? Well, she gave him that great monologue. Great monologue for young actors. Berenstain Bears Forgiving Tree. I will pay you $5 if you use the Berenstain Bears and the Forgiving Tree monologue at your next audition and you give me proof of that. If you give me proof of the fact that you did that, I will pay you $5. That is my guarantee. But you have to prove it. I need video or something. That's how sister was a help to brother. She got you $5. That's not true. Because if a bunch of people do it, then I'm not going to be able to afford it. So take that with a grain of salt. I won't pay you $5. But I will, if you do that, I will promote you. What for? Why is it sometimes very hard to say you're sorry? And also hard to accept an apology. This is a two-part question. Why is it sometimes hard to say you're sorry? Because you usually have done something terribly humiliating. And you usually did something very self-centered. And you usually did something very thoughtless. And you're used to hiding your shame and your humiliation. And authority figures used to make you feel terrible about yourself when you were a child. And it's actually like a problem that you've talked to therapists about. And why is it so hard to accept an apology? It's not. It's not. If you do something to me and you say I'm sorry, I pretty much am just done. And there might be people in this world who say, that's not true, Phil. That's not true at all. I did something. You stayed mad at me for weeks. I accepted your apology. I mean, I stayed mad at you, but I still accepted your apology. It's like accepting a cake. You don't have to eat it, but I still have that cake. Get out and do it. This is the best part of the Q&A section. On a large sheet of butcher paper, design a family forgiving tree. I don't even know what that is. Have an envelope filled with cutouts of leaves near where you hang the tree. Okay. When you need to say you're sorry to someone, write about it on a leaf. And tape it to the tree. It feels good to ask for forgiveness and be forgiven. Okay, let's back up. I've made a giant tree on a piece of butcher paper. I've cut out a bunch of leaves and I put them in an envelope. Near where I hung the tree. Not on the tree. It's nearby. Every time I need to say I'm sorry to someone, which, if you know me, is frequently, I just write about it on a leaf and I tape it to the tree. Do I ever apologize? Or do I just... Is that it? Am I just like, all right. I mean, I took care of it. I did something. I fed it to the tree. It's my apology-eating tree. It knows when I'm apologizing. I told the tree. And if someone's like, you really hurt me a few weeks ago, and you've never acknowledged it, I'd be like, well, I never acknowledged it to you. But I told the tree. And they're like, I don't know what that means. And you're like, I told the apology tree. I told the forgiving tree. It's all written there in black and white ink. The forgiving tree. Also, where do you get so much butcher paper? I don't know where you get all the butcher paper. It feels good to ask for forgiveness and to be forgiven. It does feel good to ask for forgiveness. It does feel good to be forgiven. Doesn't feel good to atone for anything, though. doesn't feel good to say I'm sorry. Cousin Fred never said he was sorry. Look where it got him. A best friend and a ride on a bike. A pretty cool bike, too. That's the Berenstain Bears, the forgiving tree. Cousin Fred busted brother's bike, and he ain't sorry. This book is totally for sale. You can buy this book. I bought it brand new. It's glossy, and it's got some really nice illustrations and a couple of cool callbacks to some old stories. The Berenstain Bears and the Green-Eyed Monster, and the Berenstain Bears get in a fight. I do love this little treehouse that brother and sister built back in Get in a Fight. Like, it's more believable as something that like a couple of kids could possibly have thrown together than like what you usually see in these stories. Like, look at that. It's just a platform with a little curved like roof on it. Like, not even a full roof. It's just like a little thing you can just sit on. It's just a platform to sit on with a little shade. And they made a kind of a cool looking like sort of pseudo window on the other side. I just like that little thing. To me, that's a believable treehouse. It's not something with a door and an elevator. And it's not the honeycomb hideout. It's just a platform, and I like that. I like the Berenstain Bears and the Forgiving Tree. You know me. I love the Berenstain. I love these Living Lights books. Compared to some of the stuff that was coming out in the 2000s, Berenstain Bear wise, these are the higher quality looking books, better written. They're just kind of janky religiously, but again, the religion is, you know, kind of secondary to the story. Brendan in the chat is discussing confession in the Catholic tradition. The bears are not Catholics in the Berenstain Bears. As we know, they do not go to a Catholic church. They go to sort of a pseudo bear cult Quakerish church. But Brendan says that confession in the Catholic tradition is treated as atonement because you're apologizing to God. You're admitting your sins to God, and that's like you're cutting out the middleman. I mean, I guess you're talking to a priest, so you're literally talking to the middleman. But from your mouth to God's ears, but that's literally the opposite of what the Catholic Church has you do. It's your mouth to the priest's ears. And then to God's ears. And I get that. Like, I kind of get that whole thing. They're like, yeah, but if we just let you tell it to God, it's not embarrassing enough, is it? Is it? So they do that. Instead, I'm not here to disparage religions, by the way. I am just here to talk about the Berenstain Bears, the Forgiving Tree. I kept saying and the Forgiving Tree. There's no and. It's just the Berenstain Bears. The Forgiving Tree. That's it. That's how you say the title. Berenstain Bears, The Forgiving Tree, 2010. Check it out. I'll be back next time with some more faith stories. There's some good ones coming up. We've got a Too Tall in the Gang book coming up. Something about chores, it looks like, and something about being nice to people, I guess. So Jesus talked about that, didn't he? Being nice to people, doing your chores, I guess. But thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much if you join me. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for giving this a shot. I apologize once again for the fact that Facebook Live is the pits. I'm looking at other options. I am only one person, and I don't know how any of this works. So I'll be live again soon. So check me out. And if you want to listen to me do anything else, I have a couple other podcasts besides Deep in Bear Country. I have one called It's Del Toro Time that I do with my older child, Willow, where we have discussed the works of Guillermo del Toro. Now we are discussing the movies he considers his biggest influences. We also pepper it throughout with just some general horror short stories we like to talk about. Some real spook-em-ups. And I also have a podcast called Pizza Toast that I do with my friend Christy Admiral, where we discussed the Netflix Babysitter's Club series, the HBO Babysitter's Club series. We just got through discussing the entirety of the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants series, and it's starting in October. We will be back to doing the Netflix Babysitter Club series. So join us over there. We're on a few weeks hiatus, but we'll be back with more of that, and I'll be back with more bears, or you can call me Mr. No Bears. Otherwise, thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you all next time deep in Bear Country.